Good morning. This is February 23rd, 2014. About 2,000 years ago, the Christ, in the form of Jesus, Christ Jesus, had left this realm, this world, and was in the invisible. And so Jesus was no longer imparting on this plane of existence, but the Christ was imparting from the invisible into the consciousness of John. And John carried on the work of the Christ here on earth. And on the Isle of Patmos, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he heard a great voice saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches." And so John heard within his being the voice of Christ. John had found a way to still the human mind, enter the silence, and listen. And the Christ moved through John and spoke and gave us very precise instructions, told all of us for all time what would happen if we overcame a personal sense of self, which, of course, in the form of Jesus, had occurred. Jesus said, "I have overcome the world," meaning he had overcome a personal sense of self. It's the personal sense of self which entertains this world. When you are not in a personal sense of self and not in a personal mind, then you are in the silence, and Christ reveals the kingdom here and now. Here and now. I stand in the kingdom. And so John stood in the kingdom, and he listened to the voice of Christ within, and he wrote what he heard. And John said, or rather, Christ said through John, Christ said to all of us, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." You have to have an ear to hear these things. And what is that ear? That ear is what you develop, what you have, when you have learned to listen to the Christ mind and not your own mind and not a personal sense of mind. I can tell you when it first happened to me, I remember the very first time I had a little meditation and the scripture came to me, "I come at a moment you think not." And I had always heard and read that that meant when you least expect it, Christ will return to earth, so you better be on your best behavior and be good so he catches you being good and not being bad. And that's what I had heard in the churches. Again, that's filtered through good and bad, through duality, and so that is not what Christ meant. But I didn't know that at the time. I just took that into meditation, became still, and suddenly I had an inner glimpse, a feeling, an intuitive feeling. That means when I am not thinking, when I take no thought inside of my being, when I am still, when I'm quiet, when I'm silent, when there is no personal mind thinking thoughts, I, Christ, reveal myself. I come at a moment ye think not. And that was the very first revelation that took place within me. That was the first realization that took place in my being in meditation. And it opened the door to receiving everything I have received in the last 41 years since then. And so that experience gave me an ear to hear what the Spirit saith. Now I'm able to, almost every time, read a scripture, close the book, take it within, and receive, not think, but receive within my being a realization of what that inner meaning of that scripture is. And so I have an ear to hear, and that is the condition that Christ gave 2,000 years ago. You must have an ear to hear. And if you do, then you can hear what the Spirit says. So he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Way back in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, it is said that there were two trees in the garden of paradise. And one tree was the tree of life. And, of course, the other tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And mankind chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, chose duality. And when that happened, I guess I could go back and read it, but I'm not going to. It is said that God said, let us move this tree of life out of here so man can't eat and live forever, which was a good thing, because if we could eat of the tree of life and still have the knowledge of good and evil, then we would live in duality forever. And so that's the storyteller's way, Moses' way of saying, you can't have both at the same time. Now we're way up here in Revelation, and we are saying, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of that tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. It was never moved, was it? We moved. So, what are we overcoming in order to eat of this tree of life? We are overcoming a personal sense of self, a personal mind which sees good and evil, which sees duality. And the promise is that if you find a way to overcome a personal sense of mind and all the concepts, then you will eat of the tree of life and live forever. So that's the first promise. But the Christ is not finished. Again, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is this? Well, what is the first death? I think Herb has told us that in many of his talks. The first death is when you are born. because you're born into duality and you have died to any remembrance of your true identity. And that first death causes you to live in a personal sense of self, a personal mind. However, if you overcometh, you will not be hurt of the second death. If you overcome a personal sense of self, a personal sense of mind, if you find the way to rest in the silence, and if you're in the silence, that means you're standing in Christ, your true identity, and you're listening to the Christ mind as it reveals itself. If you find a way to do that, you will no longer be hurt by the second death. And the second death is the death of this person. Now, if you choose willingly to die to this personal self, this personal mind, by moments and minutes and hours and days of resting in silence and letting the Christ mind function, then you will know how to stand in your Christ identity. And the moment of passing will not be a death, because you will not ever forget who you are. You will not die, fall into sleep, be born, not remember anything, start all over again, live a personal sense of life, only to die again. You will be free. You will have a constant, continuous remembrance of who you are, and you will never start over again. You will not be hurt of the second death. Your progress will continue and continue and continue. You see, there'll be no breaks in your spiritual progress. Should you return, you will pick up right where you left off, or even, according to Joel, much farther along on the path, and your progress will continue. And so you will never be hurt by the second death. When you overcome the personal sense of self, of mind. And so the Christ, through John, is telling all of us, these are the things that will happen. Watch for them. Because when they start happening, you will know you are on the way, on the path. You are dying and being reborn. And again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. There is hidden manna within your being. Joel calls it the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Everything that you receive from the Christ mind, that John here is receiving from the Christ mind, but in your case, a living Christ mind. Every word that you receive is that hidden manna. This is the grace that is your sufficiency. Not things or people or places. This invisible hidden manna. And if you overcome a personal sense of self, a personal sense of mind, I, Christ, will give you this hidden manna, this word. Perhaps up until now you have been living by words, black ink on a page, And that won't feed you. And thoughts about it won't feed you. The thoughts are coming from a personal sense of mind. And those thoughts are not my thoughts. They're not the word. They are not the hidden manna. However, if you overcome the personal sense of self, the personal sense of mind, and are still and receptive, listening, waiting upon the Lord, and the word flows into your consciousness through you, then you shall have the hidden manna, which never, ever, ever, ever runs out. It is forever. And so to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. You will receive, if you overcome personal sense of self, personal sense of mind, you will receive the hidden manna, which never runs out. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But something else will happen. Inside your being, you will be given the Christ as a permanent dispensation. And that Christ will give you a new name. Not Bill, not Barbara, not Joel, not Herb, not Linda, not Susan, not Peter, not Paul, not James, not Mark, not Madeline. The new name will be, well, I can't tell you, because it says no one knows saving he that receiveth it. You will know when you receive your new name. Now, again, the Christ speaking says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. White raiment, that's the robe. We'll hear a little more about that in a few minutes, but that's the robe. You will receive the robe of Christ consciousness around your being. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So if you overcome a personal sense of self, a personal sense of mind, you will be given in its place Christ consciousness. And Christ itself shall speak your new name to the Father and to the angels. These are all promises from the Christ of your being, because it is the Christ of all being. And again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Behold, I come quickly, and him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more, he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You see? If you overcome a personal sense of self, if you die out of a personal mind, the mind that forms concepts and judgments and opinions about a material universe that isn't there, that's only in that mind, if you overcome those judgments and opinions and concepts by resting in the silence, standing still before thy God, then Christ will make you a pillar, a living pillar in the temple. And you will have a new name. And you will have a new consciousness, a new dwelling place, which is called New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from your God to you. And I, Christ, will write upon him the new name. So, behold, I make all things new. That is what's being told to you. And so, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door to Christ of his being, of her being, of its being, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And so you are promised that you will sit in Christ, and Christ in you, in the throne, on the throne, in heaven, here and now. You shall have dominion forever and ever. Not dominion over a false world, a separate world, for there is none. You shall have dominion over world mind, over this personal sense of mind which sees duality, good and evil. You shall have dominion over that, and it shall no longer enslave you. Death shall be no more, crying shall be no more, time shall be no more. You will dwell in the eternal Christ mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, but now it'll be in Christ Paul, Christ Sue, Christ Linda, Christ Mary, Christ George. You see? These were the promises given by Christ to you. Two thousand years ago, they were given to you. If you overcome a personal sense of self, all of these things shall be yours. If you overcome a personal sense of mind, you shall be given a new mind, a new consciousness, a new form, a new name, a new city. You shall not be hurt. You shall never die again. You shall have an eternal spiritual being. And that's the way it was given to us 2,000 years ago. And then, in 1964, well, actually 12 years before that, a little man by the name of Joel, with a funny-looking tie, left a class he was giving in Vancouver. And he went down to the Seattle airport. Now, I was there 15 to 17 years later in that same airport, sitting in the same place. But he sat there and got quiet, for he had learned to listen to the Christ mind. He had overcometh the personal sense of self and the personal sense of mind, and so he was still. And the promises made 2,000 years ago were functioning his inner being. And he heard the voice of Christ within. And the voice said, living between two worlds. Let's go and see from this book with the same name exactly what it said. You have understood so well what I have said from the inner plane, and have carried the word as far as that understanding would permit you. Now the time has come to draw you closer to me, and if possible to draw you within, that you might see this universe both from within and from without. In this way only will you really comprehend that which you have received in part, and I have revealed in a measure. To fulfill your work in the world, it is necessary to live on both planes, the inner and the outer, and to understand the life and law of soul and body, in order that you may teach those now looking to you for further guidance in spiritual discernment. Thus far I have guided, protected, and sustained your unfoldment. Now you must undertake this mission for your students. As you hear, feel, and read, you will find yourself drawn into the inner world where I am. Before this can be accomplished, there are preparations which must be made. And so the inner voice, the same voice that spoke through John, was speaking through Joel. And that's all he wrote. And every year for 12 years, he took that paper out and looked at it, and nothing would come. And he didn't try to make something up with the human mind, with the personal sense of mind. When it didn't come, he put the paper away for another year. And then in March, just 90 days before his passing, he said, yesterday morning on Maui, I awakened and I received a flood of unfoldment that gave me the whole rest of the book. I have no way of knowing just how this thing will unfold, but what I have done is this. The Easter Sunday tape has been given the title Between Two Worlds, and I will continue to use this title until I feel that I have reached the conclusion. All right. So, that became the 1967 letters after his passing, and then that became this book, Living Between Two Worlds. And so, I submit to you that 2,000 years ago, John heard what would happen to those who overcame a personal sense of self and a personal sense of mind. And in 1964, 90 days before his passing, Joel went within and he heard what would happen to he who overcame a personal sense of self, a personal sense of mind. And he gave it to us in modern words in this book, Living Between Two Worlds. And last week when I started reading it, I suddenly realized that that's what this book is, the instructions on how to overcome a personal sense of mind and receive in its place all of the promises which Christ told us about in Revelation. And this chapter 5, the world of material sense and the world of spiritual discernment, is absolutely wonderful, but we're not going to study that today. We'll get back to it. But I did want to read this paragraph on the last page. It says, "The ability to move from the world of material sense into the world of spiritual discernment is proportionate to our ability to close our eyes to the appearance and wait or stop. Wait for that inner intuition, the voice of God, to reveal to us the truth of what we are beholding. And so, to you who wants to overcome a personal sense of self and a personal sense of mind, and be given the new name, the new being, the new consciousness, the new Jerusalem, then you must learn to close your eyes to the appearance and wait. Wait for the inner intuition, the voice of God, to reveal the truth of what you are beholding. Only the voice of God can do that, not your thoughts of truth. That's not knowing the truth which will set you free. Receiving an impartation from the voice of God. Just as I did that night in my first meditation on I come at a moment ye think not. I received an impartation which has kept me all these many years. So Joel says it is as simple as that. And it is as difficult as that. Spiritual discernment demands that instead of judging and arriving at an opinion, we close our eyes to the appearance. The appearance, of course, is only in that false sense of mind. We open our ears. We let God bear witness with our spirit. Then the spiritual truth behind the form will be made evident to us, which is the same as saying, we will see into the invisible and behold that which is. But what I wanted to cover today was chapter 6, making the transition from personal sense to spiritual being, because that's what the revelation was all about. And to him that overcometh shall be given Christ. And this chapter is going to tell you, give you some clues about just how to do that in modern language, not in the language used 2,000 years ago, but in the language of today. So let us enter into this chapter with the idea that it's going to reveal how to overcome a personal sense of self, a personal sense of mind, and receive in its place the Christ mind, the kingdom, the new Jerusalem, here and now. And so, it says, in the world of the natural man, the human being who is not under the law of God, there is a personal sense of I, which constitutes humanhood. Because of this human I, we do not see or hear correctly. As a result, the human sense of I looks out at you, and instead of knowing you as you really are, it immediately forms concepts, opinions, and judgments. We do exactly the same thing in our humanhood. As we look out at our friends, our relatives, or our enemies, we are forming concepts and opinions of them, believing that they are like that. And they are not that way at all. Do you see? He begins this chapter with a description of what we do in that personal sense of mind. Now listen to this very closely. This chapter gives you instructions on how to do this, on how to overcometh and receive the Christ. To each of you, a time must come when you set aside your views opinions and concepts, and turn within to let the Spirit bear witness with your spirit. As long as you judge by appearances, as long as you see and believe in good and evil, you are not under the law of God. Surprising as that may sound, you may as well accept it. You had better swallow this, even though it's bitter in the belly. As long as you judge by appearances. Now, that doesn't mean looking at somebody and falsely judging them. That means what we do every day in that false sense of mind. We look out and we see a good person, a bad person, a young person, an old person, a male person, a female person, a thief, a pure person, a nun, perhaps. We see a corrupt politician. We see a spiritual guide. We have the opposites. None of those are there. What is there? Don't tell me Christ. You're lying. That's just a thought, something you read in a book. What is there? You don't know, and neither do I, until I follow his instruction and overcometh. A time must come when you set aside, overcome, come up over views, opinions, and concepts, and turn within to let the Spirit bear witness. When you make the transition to the man who lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, you form no judgments, but rather create a vacuum within yourself. This results in an attitude of listening, so that divine judgment can be rendered. Then you will discover that you never hear or see good or evil, but rather the man and the universe of God's creating are revealed to you. You see that? How do you overcome a personal sense of self, a personal sense of mind? How do you overcome these judgments, opinions, and concepts? Because that's all there is. There is no this world. There is judgments, opinions, and concepts of a false sense of mind, false sense of self. How do you overcome that? You don't. You can't. You can't do it with your body. You can't do it with your mind. With a personal sense of body, a personal sense of mind. But you can be still. You can wait. You can stop. You can make a transition to the man who lives by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can be receptive. You can listen. You can stop. You can stand still. And then, in that silence, the man and universe of God's creating are revealed to you. What does he say in the New Horizon? Above this false sense of self, false sense of universe, above this false sense of world is a universe of love, or a universe of spirit governed by love. That's what's revealed to you, but not as words, not as thoughts, as an inner vision, as a realization, as a glimpse, sometimes lasting for days. That's how you overcome, by realizing you can't, by surrendering and letting God reveal itself. It is not that you have been seeing many things and many people as evil and are now beginning to declare that they are good. That's nonsense. That is the mistake made by metaphysicians. So that kind of knocks out any affirmations and denials, doesn't it? You see the importance of the 1955 Kahlua study series of talks? Joel was trying to give us the way to overcome, the way that he had found to overcome a personal sense of self, a personal sense of mind. And so Joel taught us that we must stop at least 12 to 30 times a day and listen and be receptive and enter the silence. And out of the silence, when we learn to overcome it, then the Christ reveals itself. And he told us the secret. You stop declaring persons or things as good or evil and allow the judgment to be rendered within you. Then it will be neither good nor evil. It will be spiritual. Why? Because it will come from the Christ mind. Now, I'm going to read this a little differently than it's written. It says, at a certain period of your spiritual unfoldment, something happens, and you're lifted out of a sense above the sense of I, personal sense of I. But I'm going to read this so that you know the man who spoke these words was not a man. It was Christ telling you what happened and what must happen for you. And so let's read it this way. At a certain period of my spiritual unfoldment, something happened. I was lifted out of or above the personal sense of I. I found that that I, which had been forming judgments, opinions, and concepts, was no longer there and was no longer operating. Now that's what happened to Joel, because he overcame. He found that way to overcometh. And he did receive this white stone and the new name, as must we. Of course, the personal sense does operate to some extent. Perhaps you still like the same food or the same automobiles or homes, but aside from that, there's a great absence of that little false sense of I. You are beginning to see without having formed a concept, opinion, or theory. This is overcoming, my friends, in modern language, so that we cannot miss it. We will begin to see without a concept, without an opinion, without a theory. Do you know, without a concept, an opinion, or a theory, standing in the silence, Christ reveals the invisible, hidden manna, the hidden spiritual kingdom, the New Jerusalem here, now, the spiritual universe, right here, right now. When this transition in consciousness takes place and the personal I is absent, you can hear about germs, infection, and contagion. You can hear about enemies without reacting. The reason they no longer have that power over you is because there's no I there. No personal sense of I. So this is how you overcometh. And there's a transition within. What is the transition? The transition is out of the false sense of mind, which has concepts, opinions, and theories. The transition is into a resting place, a stillness, a silence in which Christ speaks. The word flows. you receive the hidden manna. All these are names for the same experience. When you make the transition to spiritual consciousness, you discover there is no I that needs protecting, healing, redeeming, or saving. There is no more I, no more personal sense of self. It has been replaced by the vision of I am, or God, revealed. The only God there is, that's revealed, is that infinite consciousness. Let's back up and read this entire paragraph. There is no more personal sense of self because now the vision of I am, or God, is revealed. There is but one infinite self, one divine I, one infinite being, and I am that. Now, when you're standing in that consciousness, all of these other things hit up against you and they fall away. Whether I call myself Joel or Bill or Barbara or Susan or any other name, I am I. And in the awareness of that, there's no need of a God to fear, a God to sacrifice to, or a God to worship. You see? You no longer have to fear God. That was a concept. You don't have to make sacrifices to God. And you don't have to worship God. There's a place in your spiritual progress where worshiping God increases the sense of separation. There's God out there and I'm bowing down and singing hymns and worshiping. And then there's little me over here. And I hope that by my worshiping, I will get God's favor. You see? I always felt a little funny about that worshiping. I thought, now, that's kind of weird. Because since I know that the I of me is God, who am I worshiping? Am I worshiping myself? That just doesn't feel right. It never felt right. The only God there is that infinite consciousness, which is the intelligence, the substance, and the law of all creation. There is one infinite divine being which manifests itself as your individual being and mine. But you are not conscious of that manifestation if you're in your concepts, opinions, and judgments, the false sense of self, false sense of mind, false sense of world. When you overcometh, then I within give you Christ and Christ consciousness. And then you are consciously aware of I Christ manifesting as your individual being. In the world of consciousness, we no longer have opinions and concepts. We have vision. See the difference? In other words, when you overcometh, you're standing in consciousness. There are no opinions and concepts. There's an inner vision, a vision that announces itself. I do not declare it. I declares itself. I do not think it. It declares itself. And it says, knowest thou not that I, God, am ever with thee? I, God, will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am come that thou might have life, and life more abundant. This impartation flows in us and through us. But do you see, we are standing still. We are not having these thoughts. Please, please, we are not having these thoughts. Thoughts are meaningless. No, we are receiving this inner word, this hidden manna, because we've overcometh even the spiritual thoughts. In this other world, where we recognize that I, the Father, and I, the Son, are one, we also recognize that I, the Father, is the I of every individual. Yes. Enmity can exist only when there is a personal sense of I. And that personal sense of I can exist only while We are the sense of I that beholds two powers, good powers and evil powers. So in a personal sense of self, these concepts and opinions and judgments are about two, aren't they? They're always about two, always about duality, always about good and evil. However, telling us about overcometh, he says, in the world of the higher consciousness, I, God, is the substance of all form, and therefore there is no destructive form. There is but one world, one universe, one consciousness appearing and manifesting as individual you and me. Ah, so that must become a conscious awareness, not a thought or a theory or a beautiful statement. We must come into the consciousness. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. I will give the consciousness and the conscious awareness of that consciousness appearing and manifesting as individual you and me. In other words, I will give the consciousness of Genesis. In the world of the natural man, there is abundance and lack. The moment we transcend that personal sense of mind, we discover the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That statement completely eliminates my supply, my abundance, my lack. Because I of myself neither have nor have not. When we have yielded up, or to him that overcometh, when we have yielded up both our abundance and our lack, see, we're back to overcoming the two, the false sense of mind which sees two, standing in the silence, then the Father says, Son, all that I, the Father, have is thine. There is no more abundance or lack. There's only allness, infinity, completeness. It's the same thing. To him that overcometh will I give a new name. And he shall have dominion. And he will receive a new Jerusalem, or a new consciousness, or a new identity. Not a personal sense of supply or a personal sense of lack, but the allness and infinity of Christ consciousness. When the personal sense of self has been overcome, to him that overcometh, he that has an ear, listen. When the personal sense of self has been overcome, we neither love nor hate. The wisdom and the love of the Father that are expressed as the Son flows freely back and forth between us. Not my love anymore, not your love, the love of the Father manifested as the love of the Son. Therefore, it is God's love flowing between us. Now, I'll stop here and tell you about a dream I had one time. I know I've told you before. In this dream, I was somewhere up in the clouds in another dimension. And there was a gate behind me, a tunnel behind me, a cave. Felt more like a tunnel, though. And someone was sitting to my left, and they said, I'm going back, because I still haven't learned how to love unconditionally. And poof, they disappeared. And I was there by myself, and I thought, I'm not going back. I do not want to go back. And then finally, a few minutes later, I thought, oh, all right. And I woke up in my bed in the middle of the night, and it was dark. So, that one next to me had said that they did not know how to love unconditionally. And I thought to myself, no, I have not learned how to love unconditionally either. But now, studying this, I understand, and I have the answer. I know how to love unconditionally. And the answer is, I cannot. I will never love unconditionally, ever. No person will ever love unconditionally. Only the Father loves unconditionally, and the Father's love flows freely, unconditionally, when I am dead. When the personal sense of I, the personal sense of self, has been overcome. To him that overcometh, when I have died to that, when I am dead to that, when I am standing in the silence, the womb of creation, then I, Christ, flows. The Father's love flows unconditionally. And so, it is said here, by rising into the higher consciousness, we recognize that the self of me is the self of thee. The selfhood of thee is the selfhood of me. And we are one in our divine sonship with God. This wipes out that man who eventually must be overcome by dying daily to personal sense in order to be reborn of the Spirit. Yes, this vision, this inner vision of oneself, wipes out the need to overcome anything. Each time we acknowledge that I, the Father, and I, the Son, are one, and are able to look out upon all mankind in the same way, we are dying to the man who has his breath in his nostrils, or a personal sense of mind. And we are being reborn of the Spirit. Not to thoughts about this, not personal thoughts because they emanate from a personal mind. No, no, but the impartation from the Christ mind. That and that alone can reveal the kingdom here and now. And so we have no personal opinions, because now the I that we are sees truly, sees no presence or power apart from God. To him that overcometh, we will put that now into modern words. And he says, we surrender the personal sense of man, rather than trying to bring God's grace to the personal sense of man. Do you see the difference, my dear friends? We surrender the personal sense of man. I still receive letters and emails and even calls sometimes asking me to pray for the personal sense that have gotten themselves into a predicament. And I do. I sit down and I realize that there is no such personal sense. There's only the I. And I rest. And I rest. And I stop. I sit in the silence until there's a movement within and I feel that I reveal itself. And then I'm done. The work is finished, and I think no more about it until the person calls 2 or 3 weeks later and they've gotten themselves into another predicament. And I want to say, you know, sometimes, hey, this is not about making the person better or more comfortable. It's about dying out of the person. And so in our modern language, Joel put right here, 90 days or less before his passing, we who overcometh, we surrender the personal sense of man rather than trying to bring God's grace to the personal sense of man. All attempts to benefit the natural man by spiritual means will fail. Spiritual healing does not mean trying to bring the power of God to a human being. It means giving up the personal sense of self and letting it die, rather than trying to bring God's grace to it. It means the Son of Man must die so that the Son of God can be raised up in place of that Son of Man. And out of that death, a resurrection will take place. You see that? I had a meditation last week, and in it I heard, and it's been haunting me since then, the son of perdition must be transformed into the son of omnipresence. Take that into your meditation. You are the son. In your true identity, you are the son of omnipresence. I am the son of omnipresence. Take that into your meditation. I am the son of omnipresence. Then where are you? What are you? Do not think it. No, no, no. I am the son of omnipresence, and then be still. And let the omnipresence, your father, reveal what you are. So, he says, we hasten the day of our death to personal sense and our resurrection to our divine sonship as we consciously remember, not to judge, but what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. We are to be still and let this inner wisdom reveal to us that which is before us. Then, in that moment of silence, when all judgment ceases, the inner wisdom, the inner voice, the inner word says, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. The moment judgment enters thought, remember the word I. As you pause for a moment, the real I takes over and reveals the truth. You see that? This is, in modern language, what must be done to overcometh. And to he who overcometh, you will receive all those things from the Christ, including the Christ itself. I believe there was one more there we didn't cover. To him that overcometh will I give the morning star. And the morning star, I looked it up. Well, in fact, let me read it to you. Revelation 22. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And so you can see there that Jesus, the Christ, was Jesus related to David, but also the Christ. Jesus was dying and revealing the Christ, the morning star. So to him that overcometh will I give the Christ, again and again and again. The entire promises for him that overcometh are the Christ, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, the new name, a stone upon which is written a new name, the tree of life, the hidden manna. All of this comes to you who overcometh. And how do you overcome? The moment judgment starts, remember the word I, and be still. And the Christ mind takes over and reveals truth. To the personal sense of I, we will say, be still, and know that I am God. And then listen to the judgment of God that is uttered within. And by that, we will behold the universe as it is in the image of God through spiritual discernment. Yes, to him that overcometh, I give the Christ. And it says, our experience is determined by whether we are living through personal sense and the personal sense mind, or whether we are developing spiritual discernment or living by the eye. The world of the natural man is the world of human judgments based on appearances and the conditioned mind. The other world is the world that is revealed to us. It's revealed to us when we no longer form judgments. By dedication and devotion, more and more of spiritual grace and more of the spiritual robe descend upon us and wholly envelop us. So there you have it in modern language. To him that overcometh will I give the new consciousness, the new being, the new universe, the new language, the new mind. The mind which was in Christ Jesus must become the mind of Christ Bill, Christ Joel, Christ Herb, Christ Barbara, Christ Peter, Christ Paul, Christ Betty, Christ Linda, Christ Mary. The Son of Omnipresence. Okay, this is what came to me this week, that we should take the word of Christ 2,000 years ago, which, there being no time, is the word of Christ now. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And the word of Christ, which came through Joel and is also being spoken now, to him that overcometh will I give an inner word which reveals the truth of being, the truth of heaven here and now. These two examples are the one voice spoken in ancient times, in that language, spoken in modern times, in this language, and the two being one. It is I, the I of you. I speak. Will you now finally listen? Yes, be still and know that I within you am God. I will reveal to you the truth of being. I will give you the kingdom. You, be still. Be still. Surrender. Cease from a personal sense of mind. Stand still and receive the Holy Spirit, the movement of I within you, the Word of God spoken, new, fresh, alive, living, the living Word. And you shall see the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. I, within you, have spoken it.